Chase and Michelle, hour number two, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the reporter, Nick Keiser, here with you on a Tuesday. Be listening at the end of this segment. We'll have your chance to win Adam Sandler tickets at
Bridgestone Arena. So
yeah,
badly.
I've decided I'm going to go. I am totally going to go. I love Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler is my, I think he's up there with all-time favorite actors, comedians. I just said, quick, funny little story quick. When my mom lived in New York when she was around my age, her and my dad would just go to like hole-in-the-wall comedy places and saw Adam Sandler before he was Adam Sandler.
So,
which
this,
is, I just love that.
This would have been what, early 90s?
Yeah.
So this is right before SNL and Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison.
Yeah,
and stuff
before
like that.
He was big.
So, okay. So is that why you're into him? Because your parents were into him?
No. I mean, I grew up watching those movies. So maybe that's part of the reason,
but what would
too.
I'm going somewhere with this because I love this. Like, Adam Sandler is one of my all-time favorites. But I grew up when Sandler and Ben Stiller and Chris Farley and David Spade and like those guys – that was like the Chris Rock. That was the SNL crew that is the best of all time, in my opinion. Well, I mean, I know Eddie Murphy was awesome, and you know Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd and that group. But I mean, this is what I remember. And then you know, I was even young for Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, but. Then he just had a run of Waterboy and Mr. Deeds and Big Daddy and Little Nicky, which I think Little Nicky gets a bad rap. I love Little Nicky. I think that's a funny movie.
So I grew up watching, like, Big Daddy was always, like, a big one I would watch. And I loved that movie. And so that and Happy Gilmore, like, I watched all of those because my brother and I would watch them with, like, my dad or my stepdad or my mom. So I think I just, like, always... I just loved all the movies that he was in, and I always thought they were super funny when I was younger, but I never, like, associated him with SNL because that was, like, pre-me, pre-Michelle.
That was pre-Michelle.
But I also have watched some of, like, the skits since I've been older, like, when he does the Chris Farley song tribute.
Yeah.
That gets me every time. But he's also, like, in some newer movies that are...
The Grown-Ups.
Grown-Ups is funny.
Those are good.
I don't know. He's just a goofy dude, and I've just always loved him.
He's hilarious. I'm trying to text
in your favorite Adam Sandler movie, 615-737-1025.
Did you ever see Anger Management?
Oh, yes. That was a good one. Yeah. I watched that probably when I was way too young to watch that, but shout out parents for letting me do that.
I'm trying to think of The Waterboy goes without saying. The Wedding Singer. That's a good one.
Oh, The Wedding Singer. That's a good one.
Happy Gilmore is probably my favorite. That's probably my all-time favorite one.
Uncut Gems.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, I liked that one.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been around a long time. But anyway, we'll have Adam Sandler tickets to give away. And I know people will definitely Anger Management, Nick says, solid Adam Sandler movie. Yeah, it's a good one. Got some early odds on the Super Bowl from our friends at Superbook Sports, of course, the official sports book. And, you know, I watched this open. They had it as a pick 'em for a hot second, and then Philly became a 2-point favorite, which is interesting. I could make an argument for the Chiefs to be a favorite. And I think as we get closer, it could close as a pick 'em. I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked either. I think one of the main reasons that Philly is a favorite, I mean, I know that, you know, San Fran, they had their quarterback issues, and the Giants, we don't know if they were just frauds, and Philly ran through both of those teams, but they still were playoff games. And I think also the Chiefs wide receiver core being injured plays a big role into this, and Patrick Mahomes being injured plays a big role into this on why they're, you know, the 2-point dogs. But 2 weeks to rest, I mean, Mahomes better be leg up. Ice and elevate, dude.
Yeah.
Like, as much as he looked, I thought he looked, I mean, the Cincinnati didn't put much pass rush on him. They didn't attack him enough. But he looked pretty mobile for having a sprained ankle. But, I mean, this Eagles defense is going to, attack him. So I do think it'll probably close as a pick'em. We have a texter on the text line. They always have funny, interesting odds during the Super Bowl time. Dan from Clifton Park texted in, best bet for the Super Bowl over in the time listed for the national anthem. Nothing better than cashing a bet before the game has even started.
Who's doing the anthem? I know Rihanna's doing the halftime show.
Rihanna, very excited for the halftime show. Not sure who's doing the anthem.
I know they've said it, and I'm just blanking on who. Oh, it's is it Stapleton?
That'd be good. I love Chris Stapleton.
It is Stapleton.
There are always so many random odds. One last year was like, what type of NFL apparel is Snoop Dogg going to wear?
Oh, yeah.
Because he always wears, you know, just wild stuff. But the over-under for this game, Chase, 49.5 on Superbook Sports.
I'd take the over. I think both offenses will put up points.
Yeah, I do too. I always loved looking at MVP. Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts are obviously plus 140. They're the top of the list.
We already got first touchdown scores, too.
I know, we already have first touchdown scores. I would put money on, I mean, you're not going to get really good odds, plus 700 Travis Kelce or Jalen Hurts, because those are the obvious ones.
I like Miles Sanders, too, at plus 800.
I think a Devontae Smith plus 1,200.
Yeah.
That can be kind of interesting.
AJ's plus 1,000, which is interesting. Goddard's plus 1,200. I like that one, too.
AJ needs to have a big game.
I think AJ will have a big game. So we have, the parlayable props. The coin toss, they're pretty much even there. The heads or tails. Will either team score three straight times? Yes, minus 180. No, plus 160. That's an interesting.
Yeah, they have a lot of different props in here, which I love looking at them.
I love Super Bowl props.
Largest lead of the game by either team, 14.5. You pick the over or under on that?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's a good one.
Last score of the first half will be a touchdown or any other score. Those are both minus 110. Will there be a safety? Yes, plus 800. No, minus 1,400.
I wouldn't take that. I mean, there could be, but I wouldn't take that. I love it when there's a safety. I get so excited when there's
a safety. There almost was the other night. I think, was it Jalen Hurts?
We talked about this last week on the Music City Bets podcast, but Superbook already has Super Bowl 58 odds that you can bet on. The two favorites are the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs at plus 600. Eagles and Niners plus 800 to win it all next year. For reference, scroll down. The Tennessee Titans are plus 8,000, tied with the Falcons, Panthers, and Colts.
Hey, put $5 on them. Maybe they get Brady, and there you go, right off into the sunset.
Look, there's some long shots that I would dabble on.
So I did a long shot one on the NFL awards before the season started.
Yeah.
On, MVP, Rookie of the Year, all of those, Offensive Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year. And it's funny to look back at them now because you think you know how the season's going to go and you put $5 on it to win, I think it was like $1 million or something like that. I saw it on Twitter and I was like, hey, I'm gonna place that bet. And it was like Lamar Jackson to win MVP. No. I think Micah Parsons I had for Defensive Player of the Year or something like that, which
that was smart.
That could be possible. They'll announce the awards. What is that coming up? When is the NFL awards this weekend?
Usually the night before the Super Bowl.
Okay, so it's still 2 weeks away. But you can put money on everything, which I kind of love, but I feel like I haven't been winning lately. I feel like when I say bets over the air and I'm thinking about it, they always turn out right. But then when I actually go to my Superbook app.
Maverick said, don't think, just do.
I know. I need to do. But if you want to win money, you can just do the opposite of Joe Rexroad because he has some very.
Which is smart.
Very bad for the season.
Which is smart. I mean, he called me out today, so, that's fine.
I'm still over 500, so.
That's okay. 615-737-1025, caller number 5, will win a pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler.
Good luck.
Coming up at Bridgestone Arena, and we have a lot of people weighing in on this, of their favorite Adam Sandler movie. But you can win a pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, February 17th. 615-737-1025, caller number 5, will win that now. Coming up next, unfortunately, we don't have Joe Fortenbaugh that's able to join us, but should Titans fans be happy for A.J. Brown? We'll discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, reporter Nick Kieser with you. Nick, who is our winner for the Adam Sandler tickets?
Mike is our winner today.
Shout
congrats
out to Mike.
Mike, I'm jealous.
And a lot of you have been weighing in on some Adam Sandler movies, which are good. Click has gotten a few votes. That's an okay one.
No, I do not like that movie.
I didn't love it, but some people do. Josh from White House, this is a good one. No one ever brings up Rain Over Me. It was a serious role he played post 9/11. Great movie, and he nailed the emotion in the movie. That is a good one.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's a good one. Good morning. This is Thomas in Nashville. Good morning, ma'am in suit. Huge Adam Sandler fan. I remember when he was on Remote Control with Ken Olber and Colin Quinn on MTV. Yes. That was way back in the day.
I have not seen his MTV days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was way back in the day. So
he's just a very likable actor.
Yeah, yeah.
And, who doesn't love a good laugh?
You know, can sing and has his songs. You know, obviously the Hanukkah song is huge. So
or his Chris Farley song.
His Chris Farley song is very good.
What was the one movie where he was? Was it just Mr. Deeds? I forgot what that one was. Where he
the
owns...
one movie that he was in, Mr. Deeds? No, he was in more than one movie.
Well, no, I'm trying to remember. He owned the Jets in one of them, and he's like, oh, my God, I own the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I think that's Mr. Deeds.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's Mr. Deeds. You're right.
That's a funny one.
That's a good
Longfellow Deeds. What a name. What a name indeed.
I think I'm going to watch that today.
You should.
With this weather, yep, that's what's happening.
So should Titans fans be happy for A.J. Brown going to the Super Bowl? And I want your participation on this. A lot of people have kind of given their thoughts on it. You know, we had Brett Kern on yesterday, of course, longtime Titans punter, was his teammate here. Now they're teammates again with the Philadelphia Eagles. And Michelle and I both brought up A.J. Brown and just the difference he's seen in A.J. from the end of his Titans tenure to now with the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's what A.J. Brown here's what Brett Kern had to say yesterday on A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I mean, AJ is a stud. You know, we've had multiple conversations since I've been here, and you know, just great talks, just about, you know, our times in Tennessee, and obviously being here together. And yeah, he's grown. I think you know, just the position he's here. You know, I think he's just taking the responsibility to kind of be that guy and to be that leader. And there's a lot of veteran leaders on this team, you know, guys that have been around here with the Eagles for a long time, but just guys that have been in the league for a long time. And so I think to learn under those guys too as well is huge for him. And he's really, you know, taken into that role, you know, as far as being that one guy, that stud receiver, and obviously with Devontae here too, both of them kind of relish that opportunity that they're between the two of them, a dynamic duo. And so, he's a great guy, man. I just our lockers are almost right across from each other, and you know, it was really cool to just have a moment with him on the field yesterday, and just congratulated him, give him a big hug, and just told him I was proud of him.
Look, I think there were mistakes that AJ Brown made along the way, and I think you know, a lot of people believe that both sides, meaning the Titans and AJ, probably could have handled some things differently, and if they had, he could still be here. And who knows what the season would have looked like, because Brett just pointed out something there, that he has something that he didn't really have here. They tried to make it work here, but now he has a guy that's just as good as he is on the other side. And mm-hmm. So you have two bona fide number ones. I think John Robinson had hoped he was going to get more out of Julio Jones. You're going to have that 1-2 threat.
Yeah.
You know, they had made the trade for Robert Woods, and not that Robert Woods was a true number one, but that was going to be a good complimentary receiver to A.J. Brown, and I still believe even if they had stayed pat and didn't trade him, they could have probably still gotten Treylon Burks had they wanted to, and they needed to. They needed to draft a wide receiver. that ultimately they didn't. They traded him, and now he's with Philadelphia. I think that made him grow up some, humbled him a little bit. Obviously, he had his game against the Titans where he balled out, and you would expect that. I mean, he went out, went off for sure, and he needed to do that. It probably got the general manager fired, him doing that. You know, I for one am happy for him. You know, I can sit here and say, look, there were times he needed to log off Twitter. And if he was going to be on Twitter, stop deleting tweets. You know, you're making it harder on yourself. And I stand by all of that. But I do believe he's a very talented young man. And you've seen that maturity. And he has taken that contract that he got this year. He has shown that he deserved it. And now he's helped get his team to the Super Bowl.
Well, we have a text on the text line here. Joey from Gallatin. And I love that he said this. As a lifetime football fan, I 100% congratulate AJ for making it to the Super Bowl. That is a dream of any player. He has worked hard to get there. And I think that that's how fans need to view it, right? He's a young kid. He's 24, 25. I think he's the same age as me, right? Like, it was a really tough situation. He made it clear he wanted to stay here. But, you know, when you get into talks of negotiation and, you know, you're seeing what other receivers are making and it's about money and it's your job. And, you know, the unfortunate truth of the NFL is you get paid based off your worth, right? And when you get into conversations like that, those are not things anybody wants to hear, right? And okay, he tweeted some things, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when I covered him here for, you know, the one season I was here, right? Like, he never, like, when we were doing interviews or from Joe Rexroad, a guy who's been in the locker room, you know, year after year, he never was, you know, a mean guy or a rude guy. And people loved him, right?
Yeah, he had
a big smile on his face all the time. And, you know, I think people just need to look at it, too, of, the Titans are the ones who traded him,
yeah.
Right? At the end of the day, they had every opportunity to keep him. But I think people just, it's so easy for them to be mad that he's playing there. But, you know, he could have wanted to stay here and wanted to still work on figuring out a contract. But at the end of the day, Tennessee traded him.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, just jump to the Eagles, and the situation worked out, and we don't know. We hear one side and the other side of the story, but the truth is somewhere in between. But at the end of the day, they could have tagged him.
They didn't even have to do that. I mean, it was his third year.
Kept him for a year. Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, this organization is the one who made the decision.
Yep.
So
they bailed out too quick.
Look at Debo.
You know, I turned out to be wrong on that, but that's what they did. Corey Curtis yesterday was on Robbie and Rex Road, and he got asked if he thought Titans fans were happy for AJ.
Well, it was one of the things I wondered last night. You know, for Sports Extra, we started our show mapping out kind of, you know, how April 28th sent two teams, two franchises in two different directions. You know, one of them fired their GM and their offensive coordinator. You can link both of those to that trade. I don't think there's any question to that. And then the Eagles go to the Super Bowl. Now, AJ didn't do a ton yesterday, but he had 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns this season. So he was a huge part of their equation. So, you know, I don't want to hear that he didn't have anything to do with them going to the Super Bowl, because he absolutely did. You know, so the other thing I just asked was a simple poll question. Are you happy for AJ Brown? And I didn't know how it would go. And it was interesting because the emotional votes came early. Early on, the emotional votes of no flooded in. And I was like, wow, this is a landslide. People are still angry with him. But in the end, it turned out to be like 55% said they were happy for AJ Brown. So I think a lot of people are past it. I think a lot of people know that both sides could have handled the situation better. But hating AJ Brown, I don't think is going to help a darn thing. And I think also Brett Kern being there softens it for some people, and they want Brett Kern to have good things.
I think that's definitely a true statement. That's Corey Curtis yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road. Having Kern there certainly helps it. But look, I'm happy for AJ. And it's hard to say if you take him off that team, if they make the Super Bowl or not. I think they probably don't.
No.
I mean, I think having two stud receivers has made Jalen Hurts that much better. Now, they have, you know, they have a run game, they have a great defense, they have all those things, but AJ Brown's made Devontae Smith better.
He's also made Jalen Hurts better.
Yeah, exactly.
He's helped Jalen Hurts be able to take that next step as a quarterback because he has a guy like AJ Brown who can make plays for him on the field. And, you know, we had another texter text in and said, AJ's not a Titan. I don't give two bleeps if he's in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, AJ did a lot for this franchise. I mean, he helped you earn the one seed last year. You know, he helped you get to the AFC Championship. Like, he's been a big part of this franchise. And, you know, just because he goes somewhere else and they make it to the Super Bowl, like, why not be happy for people? It was a negative situation. It sucks that your team traded him. But at the end of the day, he didn't trade himself.
No, he did not. 615-737-1025. Are you happy for AJ Brown and him going to the Super Bowl? And what are the long-term effects of this trade for the Two-Tone Blue? We will discuss that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, hanging out with you here on a Tuesday. Brought to you by our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I forgot what I was saying there for a
second.
That's
okay. I thought it was Wednesday until about an hour ago. So
I know. Chase and Michelle presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. Should Titans fans be happy for Arthur Juan, AJ Brown, now going to the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles? I know we have a couple texts on the text line of people weighing in, Michelle.
Yeah, Tommy on the text line. Heck yeah, I'm proud of him. Titans fan needs to stop hating. Our idiot front office chose to not pay him, the man, and now they see that they have messed up big time. Hope the Eagles win it all. Sure do miss having him here in Nashville. You have to pay to play, and Amy is too cheap. So, you know, talking about not paying your big time players, you know, and we've had this discussion before just about this organization paying wide receivers as a whole.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have one wide receiver that can speak on that.
Demons.
The thing is, though, can you tell me in the history of the Titans, since the team's been here, the receivers that you should pay the big money to that aren't named Derek Mason or AJ Brown? Because there really isn't an answer.
I don't think big money, but I think as a two, Corey Davis.
Corey Davis is one that you can make an argument for, but
not these huge contracts we're seeing that, like, no. Devontae Adams and AJ should have gotten, but I think pay him, you know, and you think of, okay, if you had him and you had, then you ended up paying AJ and you had those two as a 1-2 punch and Derrick Henry.
Like the contract that Corey got, with the Jets, I probably, looking back on it, would have paid that.
What is it?
3 years, $37.5 million.
I think he's a solid number two receiver in the NFL.
I mean, he's making, this year he's going to make 11.1 against the cap. So that's...
I mean, the receiver market right now, I mean, you're paying... Who would you rather have him or Robert Woods? Because you're playing Robert Woods like 14 for two years.
I'd rather have him, even though he didn't have a great year.
I think he was hurt a little bit, which doesn't help the argument. It doesn't help the argument.
He's always hurt. That's the problem. That is my biggest knock on Corey Davis, is he's always hurt. I mean, his last year here, he was almost a 1,000-yard receiver, but he played 14 of the 16 games.
That's pretty good.
Last year he had 492. Actually, no, I wouldn't have given him that. Nah.
Scratch it. Yeah. We got Keith on the text line, said, I'm actively rooting against AJ. He got himself traded by whining for more money while under contract. Titans traded him to set a tone that they won't negotiate with divas before they have to. I disagree with that, Keith. I think this word diva has been thrown around with AJ Brown a lot. A lot of it has been thrown around without a lot of information and just kind of the outside looking in on him. And I think it's also really easy to call wide receivers divas because they just want more money. I mean, he was taking, the reason he started negotiating is because he saw the market value going up. When you're playing in the NFL and any snap could be your last snap, we witnessed it firsthand this year. AJ Brown saw what was happening with the wide receiver market that was set by Christian Kirk, who AJ Brown is a better wide receiver than Christian Kirk. And he saw what that did to the wide receiver market in the NFL. He capitalized off of it because he knew that in a couple of years, it probably will settle down and go down a bit. We've seen it with different positions. We saw it with tight ends a couple of years ago, right? Once somebody sets the market like that, I mean, he had to take advantage of it and do what was best for him.
Yeah. Look, I hate these arguments of, well, he's under contract. So because he is under contract, he is not allowed to want more money. The league works that you come in, you sign a rookie deal. The PA and the league negotiated what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of guys outperform that before it's up. And I don't fault a guy for wanting to get his contract early, because how many times do you see a guy miss out on it because they get hurt? It's a tough league. So this argument, I mean, I get it. You're right. He is under contract. But I don't have an issue with him want now. I don't always agree with holding out. I think Jeffrey Simmons has done it the right way, and Jeffrey Simmons is going to get rewarded for it.
But we didn't even know if AJ was going to hold out. I mean,
he was. I mean, I
okay, that, but we can say that.
That I feel pretty confident in.
Okay, but we can say that, but it never actually happened because they didn't give him the ability to hold out.
They didn't let it happen.
But it's really easy for us to say, okay, he wouldn't have played. Okay. We never got to see it happen, so we don't know if it would have happened. People said, you know, he cut off communication. I don't know how true that is, because we've heard there's two sides of every story, and then there are three sides. There's one side, there's J-Rob's side, there's AJ's side, and then the truth somewhere in between. We can easily say, you know, we definitely think he would have held out. Okay, yeah. Look at what happened with Debo. Debo, you know, waited. They didn't trade him, held out for a bit, and then he finally got his contract.
Yeah, look, the reason that I said he would hold out, and I still believe that, is because that's what guys do, and it works. Because they know that they have the team by the throat, and they make them pay. Now, the Titans did what – I mean, because AJ pointed this out. All these receivers basically got the same deal. They pretty much got the same deal. He was the only one that got traded. And it was because they didn't want to go through it. They didn't want to deal with the holdouts and I think that John, and this isn't all.
Well, Tyreek got traded.
Well, Tyreek, yeah, that's true.
And Devontae.
well, yeah, but theirs were, I think, more. I think and I think Tyreek had already signed his, but Devontae got more than those guys that we're talking about.
Yeah, a little. But
yeah, I'm talking about like DK, Debo, AJ, like that group all basically got the same deal. So I think John, you know, was on this I want team first guys with a great attitude and the Patriot way, and you know, guys that aren't gonna hold out and, you know, fight for that. And I don't think he wanted, you know, he just wasn't putting up with it. And I also believe that Amy didn't want to put up with that either. So I don't think it's all on J-Rob.
No, I don't think it is,
you know,
either.
I think it was on the organization too, that they didn't want that, and went ahead and made the deal. This whole narrative of people saying that he didn't want to be here, I don't know if I buy that. I don't think we really know one way or another. Now, he's going to say the right things, like, now in retrospect, yeah, I wanted to be a Titan. Okay. I mean, he probably did. I think he wanted to be – he would have been a Colt if they had given him the money.
Like, well, and I think we saw, too, from last year, and, you know, he came out with that video really vulnerable, just talking through, like, mental health, and said that Mike Vrabel was such a big part of that. I truly do believe that Mike Vrabel – wanted to coach AJ, and AJ wanted to play for Mike Vrabel. I do believe that they had a really close relationship, but I believe too, I think both can be true, that, you know, AJ knew that he deserved more money based off of the other guys in the league who were getting paid. I think Mike Vrabel agreed that AJ deserved more money, and he probably was like, just wait, we're going to figure it out. And then as you mentioned, the ownership group and J-Rob making a decision of, no, we don't want this, but you're going to play under your contract. Like, we're not going to deal with this right now, and then made a rash decision to trade him, and it clearly was the wrong decision.
Yeah, and, you know, they could end up being fined from it because Treylon Burks could turn out to be, you know, just as good. We don't know yet. The injury has kind of derailed his rookie season, but, you know, that's the decision they made. They got to live with it, and John's got to live with it. And how can that affect him moving forward? That is the question. Jonathan Hutton had an interesting take. You asked him about it yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next and put a bow on things. It's Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's Love Week on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by A Moment's Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. You can tune in for Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning between 6 and 9 for details on how you could win a $100 gift card to A Moment's Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs and qualify for a chance to win $1,000 Genesis Diamonds.
Get your gifts early. Get your gifts early, fellas.
Yeah, hey, Ryan in Chicago, get your gifts early. Just saying.
Get it all ready. We want to be ahead of schedule. Listen, and you call in when we do the giveaway, and I answer the phone, and it's so funny because the last two winners, the guys have been like, yes. And it's like, check off the list. You got your gift, and then you can get put in the drawing for a bigger gift.
What is the I'm going to put you on the spot because this is fun. What is the expectation for Ryan in Chicago
for this
Valentine's Day?
Listen, I think, you know, we love cooking. Cooking would be fun. Maybe some flowers. I don't need anything huge. I don't need jewelry or anything like that. Flowers, just a nice evening, a nice day. But ladies, if you're listening too, you also need to return the favor. Because not just one-sided. So, like, get some chocolates or, like, chocolate-covered strawberries. Do some fun fruit activities. A cooking class. Something fun.
I'm
blushing.
I know. That's why I did that. If I were in a relationship right now.
Okay, Taylor Swift, listen up.
Tay, I'll see you in May. If I were in a relationship right now and she's like, well, what do you want? I would probably say, like, can I defer this gift to later on when I know that I'm going to need like a weekend or need
That's
something,
true.
You know, I feel like Valentine's Day is a good time to do that. Like Christmas and birthdays, like you got to take the gift right there. But
yes.
Valentine's Day, it's like, hey, I got the coin toss. Can I defer? I would like to defer this to later on.
I think that's fair. And I also think Valentine's Day is so much put on the men to do something for their girlfriend.
Yeah, but I like that. Like, I like to spoil. So, like, it's an excuse, which I don't always need that. But, like, I would, you know, if I'm in Ryan's spot, I would look at that as a, you know, a good opportunity.
There you go. But
Ryan, call me after the show. I got ideas for
you. Oh, gosh. I don't want to know.
I got
Or
you.
Just call in to try to win the contest, which would be great as
He's
well.
He's not eligible.
Oh, but, okay. Sorry.
You know, but, you know, call me. 615-737-1025. Talking about AJ Brown. Real quick, I wanna play this clip from yesterday from Jonathan Hutton when he was on our show. You asked, I thought, a very good question of how this might affect J-Rob moving forward and his ability to become a GM again in this league.
Do you think that the AJ Brown trade and looking at how it's panned out could affect John Robinson's future as a general manager in the NFL?
Yeah, it could, but keep in mind the GM spots are interesting because by and large, you don't get a second opportunity as a general manager once you're fired. It's puzzling because they go with the young up and coming scouts and personnel department leadership more than they do retreads at the GM spot. It's very opposite on the head coaching end of things. So the young GMs go with the more experienced and oftentimes less qualified candidates based on their previous history. But we view the general manager spot differently because of the overall management of a roster. And I think in large part because the current GMs are much more familiar than the current scouts across the league or the personnel department heads. So I think that plays a factor in the overall perception of the position. But, you know, Robinson's also going to be able to point to how he revamped the roster here whenever mm-hmm. he took over. And I think he'll be able to lay out a plan, much like he did in front of Amy Adams Strunk, that presents himself in a much better light than that trade does. So do I think Robinson was a good GM? Yes. Do I think he has put together, in the current state of things, a depth on a position by position that's good enough to win in the postseason? No. The deepest teams right now are winning when guys go down, and the Titans, by and large, did a decent job because of their head coach and their coaching staff of making the most out of what they've had, and we've kind of overlooked their overall depth issues because of that. They were still winning. At 7-3 this season, they were still winning. So, yeah, I think he can win over another owner, but it's got to be the right owner, the right position, and the right pitch for him to step in and do that.
That's Jonathan Hutton yesterday on our show talking about John Robinson and his ability to get another job because of the AJ trade. I believe he's going to be a GM again, but I do think he's going to have to explain that one. That when he's talking to teams and he's talking to owners and like, hey, what was your thought process? Now, I also believe that there are aspects to that trade that we don't know everything about.
Of course.
And he can explain that. But overall, I think the other thing is going to be the drafting, you know, the scouts and how they viewed prospects and, you know, the medicals and all of that. He'll have to explain that. But ultimately, I think he'll be a GM again.
See, I think Jonathan had a really interesting answer on that. And, you know, when you put it in perspective, right, there's 32 teams in the NFL. And when you get that job, nobody wants to give it up. So when you lose that opportunity, and especially the way that John Robinson lost it here, you know, getting fired in the middle of the season, not at the end of the year when they're trying to, you know, change things around, that is going to be something that will follow him to a new career, you know, whether he gets interviewed for other jobs. But a lot of the times they are going with younger guys. I mean, look at here, the Tennessee Titans, Rand Carthong, young guy from a successful organization. Then you look at the Cardinals. They hired Monty Austenfort from here. Young guy with a successful organization learning the last couple of years. Two guys who both have never been a general manager in the league before, both getting opportunities this year. And, you know, I don't have the time right now to look, but I think it's something I'm going to look into, you know, when I get home of, you know, how many times do general managers get much of a second chance in this league? Because I don't think it's very often. I mean, like I said, I would need to like look it up and like,
I'm trying to think of, you know,
and those are only two instances that I just brought up right here. Yeah. And the Cardinals this year, but it would be interesting to see, you know, just look
Bill
over
Polian. Yeah. Got a couple of different opportunities. Dorsey, John Dorsey, I think is his name. He was with Kansas City and then Cleveland. Those are the two.
Like even Chicago just hiring a new GM, Ryan Poles. This is his first year, right? So three guys who've never been general managers with three organizations who.
Trent Baalke has gotten a couple of opportunities. So it certainly happens, but I just think it depends. You got to look at the track record overall and. Anyone like John that I think has been cut from that Patriots cloth and then Tampa, which is also the Patriots cloth, that's certainly going to help him. Let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025, talking about AJ Brown. David wants to weigh in. Welcome in, David.
Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
You can't pay AJ Brown all that money when he hadn't produced over 1,000 yard catches a year. He hadn't done that here. Now, I still think some sneaky trading was going on between Philadelphia.
Okay.
Because how did he know when he left that that's where he was going to get to go? I still say there's a lot of fishiness going on, and we got it in the shorts.
All right. Thanks for the call, David. I don't know about that. I mean, he found out he was going to Philadelphia when the trade happened.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know, him and his I'm sure he had an idea before it broadcasted right over the air, or his agent told him or something that a trade was about to happen during the draft process. But, you know, whether that was 5-10 minutes, I don't think days or anything before. I highly doubt that. You know,
I mean,
not how it
John said, and here's the thing. I don't know what he's talking about. He was a 1,000-yard receiver his first 2 years in the league.
You know, and as far as his point, you know, last year, right, we know he was injured. He was on and off the field, but a lot of times, too, you pay because you see the potential in a guy, right? You knew what you had in A.J. Brown, and you could think that – sorry, we got a funny text on the text line. Wow, you've got Foghorn Leghorn on the phone. and you know, that's the unfortunate truth, right? Because the Eagles thought, hey, we're going to pay him. He's a great receiver in this league. Yeah, he might not have shown it last year, but he showed the potential over the last couple of years in the league as a whole. You got to do that sometimes, right? Yeah. And too often it's the, well, you pay him and then he sucks afterwards. You're telling me a guy is going to try to suck? Like, come on, let's just be.
No, that never happens.
Yeah, everybody, they want to win. They want to win games, right? AJ's, you could tell how frustrated he was on the bench the other day when he wasn't getting, you know, I mean, they were beating the 49ers by however much at the time, but Kelly was already frustrated that he wasn't getting action in that game. I don't know. I don't agree with that notion of
no,
you shouldn't have paid him. I 100% think you should have paid him.
I mean, I said at the time I didn't feel comfortable paying him the money that Philadelphia paid him, and I didn't, and I stand by that. Now, that was based on he did have some injury concerns. He was just over 1,000 yards as a receiver his first 2 years in the league, 1,051 in his rookie year, 1,075 in his second year, and then 869 last year. And the only time he played a full season was his rookie year. So that was a part of it. He made some key drops. I mean, I absolutely he deserved a new contract, but I was concerned with the amount of money per year that Philadelphia gave him. He obviously proved me wrong this year. He was almost a 1,500-yard receiver.
Proved a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, and he had a chip on his shoulder. He played all 17 games, so that
and
was –
and he's headed to the Super Bowl.
So you live and learn on some of those things, and that's kind of where they're at. But ultimately, I think I'm happy for A.J. Brown. I feel like a lot of Titans fans are. This is going to be one of those things that's debated for – many years to come, especially if the Titans don't get there and don't get to that position, whether they win it or not. So,
well, and the whole just storyline off of it, it's probably really easy for AJ right now. I mean, he went to one of the best teams in the NFL, right? He's heading to the Super Bowl. It couldn't have turned out more perfect for him.
Yep.
And that's, you know, a sour to swallow if you're a Tennessee fan here in Nashville, but the unfortunate truth. And you know, if he was having a losing season, maybe he would have regretted it, but he's not. So it's the unfortunate reality of the situation. And you're right, Chase, it will reflect this organization for a very long time.
Coming up next, it's Caroline Willie and D Mace. They will talk about the quarterback carousel around the league and how that could affect the two-tone blue. That is all coming up next. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 9 here on 102.5 106.3 The Game.